It was a hot day. The kind of day when just taking a breath leaves your mouth dry like a desert. The kind of day when a simple cup of water seems like a sparkling treasure. And the night was just as hot. And yet, there we were, crammed into the upper room of one of the brothers' houses, standing room only. But we were delighted to be there, because Paul was there. Paul, the persecutor turned preacher, was passing through our little town. And so we gathered together as the church to break bread and to hear him teach. And we were not disappointed. He told us how the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ had shown him mercy, him, Paul, the worst of sinners, so that he would always stand as an example of how gracious God is, of how freely he gives his mercy to undeserving sinners. He told us how the gospel was changing people, Jew and Gentile alike, all over the world. And he reaffirmed in us the hope of resurrection, the fact that when we trust in Jesus, we will rise just as he did. Paul went on and on late into the evening, but we didn't care. We were delighted to hear the good news about Jesus from a man who knew it from personal experience, from the depths of his being. He spoke with such power and yet such humility. This man had clearly been transformed by the grace of God. Around midnight, though, a cry of alarm rang through the crowd from the edges. Out on the edges, there was a young man named Eutychus. He had nodded off. You know, it was hot already, and the many lamps that we had lighting the room made it so warm and toasty. And he fell asleep. Sadly, though, he was sitting in the only space available to him, a window. And so when he fell asleep, he fell to his death below. People gasped in horror to see him fall to his death. The power of Paul's teaching suddenly seemed to be eclipsed by the tragedy of Eutychus's fall. As people milled about, a sense of panic in the air, I noticed Paul pause and nod his head, and then down the stairs he went. I made my way towards the stairs, and by the time I got to the ground, Paul was already there, bent over poor Eutychus, praying. Suddenly Eutychus gasped and his eyes opened, and Paul shouted up to the upper room, "He is alive! Do not be alarmed. His life is still in him." When Eutychus, raised back to life from death, walked up into that upper room, it was an emotional moment. Tears of sorrow turned into tears of joy. People burst into songs of praise for this miracle that they had seen with their own eyes. You know, we thought about calling it a night, but Paul insisted, "We're here to break bread and to fellowship together." And so that's what we did. We sat down to eat. Paul broke the bread and passed around wine. And I'll tell you, the words, "Do this in remembrance of me," have never seemed so real. Paul picked up his teaching where he was when Eutychus fell and spoke until the early morning, buoyed by the miraculous demonstration of God's power. You know, he spoke right through until morning and left us wanting more. Never before had the power of the gospel seemed so real to me. I'll never forget that miraculous night. What a story, eh? A tragic death, a miraculous resurrection. I'm sure that everyone there was radically altered by the experience. But what about us? What does Eutychus' death have to teach us? Well, certainly there are there are people who have taken this passage as a warning against falling asleep in church. Others have also warned against preaching for too long. But to be frank, I really think that Eutychus is for us, just as it was for the people in the first century, an object lesson in the hope of resurrection. You know, when we believe in Jesus, we have the hope of resurrection. That just as Jesus died and was raised to life, that just as Eutychus died here and was raised to life, so too shall we when we trust in him. And our hope is not just that we, like, fly off to heavenly clouds like an angel and live on cream cheese and angel food cake for the rest of our lives. No, we are raised again into perfect, infallible, never failing bodies that can do more than we are ever capable of now. That's the heart and soul of our Christian faith that gives us confidence to live in the world now, come what may. We will live again, you will live again in a glorified body. And we need to be a church that is focused on sharing that hope of resurrection. You know, there are churches out there that are living only for this life. They're acting more like a social club. They're hung up on the color of the carpet and on the style of the music. They're focused more on those side things than on the gospel. And so they miss out on what should really be the main thing for us as the church, sharing the hope of resurrection. And this is really where our message ties this whole sermon series together. A church in action should share the hope of resurrection. Right? We wanted to look at in this sermon series, the church in action. Well, a church in action will share the hope of resurrection. You know, a church that's not in action, an inactive church, will focus on human things rather than the things of God. An inactive church will be focused more on their own desires and needs than what the people around them need. An inactive church rarely prays together or spends time together. They have no real interest in knowing what God intends for them to do. And so they will fail to accomplish the primary goal that we have as a church, to share the hope of resurrection with the world. That's what we want to do, to share the hope of resurrection. You know, Jesus died and rose again to give resurrection life to countless sleepers in this world, right? Countless people like Eutychus sleepwalking through this life with no sense that God is there and how much they need him. We want to be a church in action, sharing the hope of resurrection. And to do that, really, we need to focus on the priorities of the church that we see in Acts, teaching and fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. You know, think back over all of the videos, all of the passages of scripture that I've unpacked with you in this past month. We've seen teaching, haven't we? Here in Acts 20, the Jerusalem Council, the Berean Church, that's all teaching stuff. Fellowship, we've seen in Dorcas and the food distribution program that the deacons established. Breaking bread together, we see that Acts 2, 42 to 47, we see it here in Acts 20. And then prayer for the times, for the time that Peter was in prison, for boldness in sharing the gospel. These things were priorities for the church, and they need to be for us too. And you know, I get the sense that they are. I get the sense that you want to grow in faith through teaching and Bible study. I get the sense that you want to grow sharing your resources with the world. I get the sense that you want to worship the Lord, not just with your voices, but with your wallets. I get the sense that you want to be praying together for God's will. So let's keep it up. And let's keep thinking about what we already do and how we can leverage that and use it to accomplish these purposes. You know, I'll be honest with you. In my time preaching, I have from time to time seen husbands
nodding off
in my teaching time. I've also had wives come and apologize to me for their husbands afterwards. But you know what? The message that we have, the hope of the gospel, the hope of resurrection, is a message that is worth staying awake for. You know, we have the hope of resurrection, the certainty that these bodies will not define us in eternity. We will be raised again into bodies that are perfect, that are super capable. Let's live in the hope of that resurrection and share that hope of resurrection with the world. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that when we were still enemies, you died for us. You died to forgive our sin, and then you rose again to prove that death had no hold over you or your people any longer, and then you freely gave the benefits of that to us. Jesus, we receive your grace. We receive your forgiveness. We receive from you the promise of resurrection. Lord, I pray for people in our congregation whose bodies weigh them down right now. God, I pray that this resurrection hope would give them encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would give them comfort and confidence, knowing that there is a glorified body, just like this one, but perfect, waiting for them in eternity. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would rally around that, would rally around the gospel, would rally around sharing the hope of resurrection and eternal life with the world. Lord, give us a single-minded commitment to growing in faith through teaching, to serving each other, to worshiping you, to breaking bread together, to praying. God, I pray that you would refine us as a church. Use this COVID-19 time, Lord, to strip away anything that doesn't belong to your purposes for us as a church. And Lord, refocus our attention on how we can serve you and advance your kingdom in this world. Lord, thank you for the book of Acts, for the faithful people who have gone before us. Thank you for Eutychus and his example. And Lord, thank you that we have a hope that just as he was raised to life, just as Jesus was raised to life, so too shall we when we trust in you. Help us to share that with the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.